You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? If there are no announcements, any other announcements? Okay, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's going to be in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And he was gone forth into the way. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's begin with prayer. Father, we do thank you for the joy of seeing the little kids and the presentation by Kathy. Just thank you for the blessing each of us received from that. And the thoughts that we had of different things that came up that apply to you, your son, that we might grow in wisdom and the knowledge of him. And Father, now that the kids are gone, we ask your blessing on our time together here in the Word, and the Word have its effect in our life. Your Spirit be the teacher. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, right before church camp, I talked about the passage just above the passage that was read this morning, and that had to do with the children. Now, let's look real quickly and look at a couple of these verses. Let's start at verse 14. When Jesus saw that the disciples tried to forbid the children to come to him, well, he was worn out and he was tired, and so they thought, I can understand why they think that. He needs his rest. The master needs his rest. He was displeased, though. It says, when Jesus saw what they were doing, he was displeased, and he said unto them, "Permit or suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God." Now, this will have a little bearing in just a minute, and we'll get there, because the disciples he calls children later. And they're adults. And many of us in our relationship with the Lord are in that same situation. We're not children, and we should be children. He goes on and he says in verse 15, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into it." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. I was watching Pirates of the Caribbean, and the week before, we took the family, went up North Carolina and had our weekly little venture out there, and the kids liked this little, that's a fun little movie. I guess, maybe somebody might find some fault with it. Maybe like we found, someone might find fault with Darth Tater. But, it's an illustration, and that's all it is. It's not, we're not teaching black magic. And Pirates of the Caribbean, these guys are under a curse. If you haven't seen the movie, it is a fun little movie to watch. And they're under a curse. And their curse is they can't die until something about all the money and the blood gets back together. I was watching this one scene, and they're all there with the money and the chest in front of them. And there's this one guy that has taken over command and, mutiny. And he took the Black Pearl, which was a ship that Captain Jack Sparrow, y'all that are familiar with the story, some of these things make sense to you. He had taken over the command of the men and the command of the ship, and they all got cursed. And Jack Sparrow shows up. And they're in this cave, and they're getting ready to perform this ritual that's supposed to give them all their life back again. And Jack Sparrow shows up. And he said something that triggered something in my mind. He walks through the group, and he walks up to the guy that had taken over and led the mutiny. And the guy said, "It's impossible that you're here." And he said, "Not probable, but possible." And it made me stop and think, God has told us that all things are possible with Him. And how often do we live our life not believing that things are possible with God? A guy wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren. And then one of our modern-day teachers on the radio, John MacArthur, said The Grace-Driven Life. And I started thinking, if your relationship's right with God, it doesn't matter where you're driving. I see that. That's where we sometimes find, if there is fault in our Christian relationship or our walk with the Lord, it's that a relationship isn't right with Him, and we don't even know it. And why is that? Why is it that in some situations we give up, we're defeated? Why is it that we get distressed or disappointed in certain situations in life? And mainly it's because we've got our eyes off of Him. We've got our eyes on ourselves. And that's just what life's all about. This guy here in this lesson today is a follow-up of the idea that you have got to receive Christ as a little child. You've got to understand your relationship with God as a little child. To know that all things are possible with Him. I mean, He took Abraham at what age? 100. And Sarah, and they had a little boy named Isaac. Yeah, that's God working that out. Now, God doesn't work today in miracles. He doesn't work in signs and wonders. That was for the nation Israel, for those that rightly divide Scripture. We know that that stuff doesn't happen today. It doesn't mean that God can't do miraculous things. He still does miraculous things. But when He did it through Israel, He did it with a purpose of confirming the word of the kingdom of heaven being at hand. He was ready to establish His kingdom on the earth. And in that kingdom, when He is king, there will be wonderful things done day in and day out. He's not doing that today, and that's another lesson. We're not going to get into that. This guy and this rich young ruler, that's what he's often called. He's rich because we know later he had many possessions, and he didn't want to give them up. He had two faults. One, he knew God, but he didn't know God. And he knew the Scripture, but he didn't understand the Scripture. Now look at verse 17. Now when Jesus, when he was gone forth in the way, there came unto him one running, and kneeled to him, and he asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And this guy didn't even know if he had life or not, so he's asking about it. Now life to them was supposed to be found in the law. Keep the law. Obedience to the law. Now, I don't want you to think that we're going to use this scripture in a way to try to get money. You'll sell all that you have and give it to... There's a lot of teaching today that does that, but that's not correct. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. We're not under any obligation to tithe. We're not like they were. We're not under any obligation to, like the disciples and those, to hold everything in common. Those things are different today. That was for the kingdom church. There'll be a day when all that will take place, but it's not today. We live under grace. That's hard, but you know, if you get to know me long enough, you're going to be thankful for that. Grace is something we have nothing to do with. You don't have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with it. It's the gift of God. We can't earn it, not by works. This guy was trying to work his... What must I... What? What's the word? Do to inherit eternal life. You can't do a thing. You try and you try. You may know the Lord, and then now all of a sudden you're Galatianized, and you start thinking, okay, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and you're still starting to try to work for your salvation. You're trying to find yourself acceptable to God. All that is that's naturalism kind of coming in. Instead of resting on the supernatural, that God did it. God has done it. There's not a thing you can do about it when you become a child of God. You just believe, have faith, receive the atoning work of Christ on the cross. He redeems you and forgives you, and you walk with Him. Now, that walk sometimes isn't very good. Sometimes the world is a distraction. Sometimes the cares and the hustle and the bustle of the world, like chalk on a chalkboard, begins to mount up. And, you know, we write our life up there, and then all of a sudden life changes, and we erase it, and we write our second stage of life up there on the chalkboard, and then life changes, so we erase it, and we write the third, and then all of a sudden that chalkboard, which used to be a blackboard, is kind of whitish black. It's gray because all that chalk is on the board, and it gets very confusing after layer and layer and layer and layer of life piles up on us, and all of the junk in life is there, and it's just hard to get back to what it was all about, to getting back to being a child in our relationship with God, to believe that all things are possible. So this guy, he's trying to work his way to heaven. So that's That's the wrong way to get there, because you can't get there. God's already told us about that. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's only two. Two courses when this world's over. Either you have it or you don't have it. And it only comes from believing in Him. That's the bottom line. It's not works. We try. We'll never achieve it. And when we're saved, we have to go back to the Word. We have to spend time in the Word. We have to study what God teaches us. And remember that all things are possible with Him. No matter what our situations are. It's some terrible health problem. Some financial problem. Some divorce situation. Some children situation. All kinds of personal problems. Some addictions. It doesn't matter what it is. God comes along and He'll take that chalkboard, and with His eraser, will erase all of that and make you whole and acceptable. And He doesn't care what you become. He accepts you as you are. He's not anticipating or expecting anything. But, oh, He has some great, glorious things for you to do, what He calls good works, when you're obedient and walk with Him. This poor guy, if we read through it, we see in verse 18, Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And this young man, he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Now, this is a perfect guy. I don't know. I don't think any of you in here could say that, could you? I mean, just go down the list. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor thy father and mother. Now, here's a guy who says, "I've done it all. I've kept every one of these from my youth." I'll tell you what he doesn't have, I've got today. And I'm not boasting about it. I know about my sin. You know how God treats sin? Look over at, hold this place. Look over at Luke chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 7. Do you remember when Jesus went into Simon's house and there was a woman that came in and washed his feet? Simon was a Pharisee in Luke chapter 7. And we're going to start, the story begins in verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought in an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee who had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that touches him, for she is a sinner." Okay. She knows what I know, and the young man doesn't know, and that is that we are sinners. We are born in sin, and we live in sin. And this battle with this old flesh is constant. It's 24 hours a day, it's 7 days a week, and it's 52 weeks a year. It just goes on and on and on. And if you don't have that battle in your life, I wonder how your walk with the Lord is. Maybe you've been, what's the word? Worldized. You just become so common with what goes on that when you see something on TV, you hear something on the radio, you go to the movies and you watch it, or someone says it, or you read it, and it doesn't shame you. It doesn't prick your conscience. So the rich young ruler has no idea about sin. This woman knows about sin, and look what Jesus says about her. Well, let's go back and let's see what he says to Simon, verse 44. Still in Luke chapter 7, verse 44. He turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not." That's three things he says, Simon, you have not done. Have you, in your life, let me just say, okay, do you pray daily? Do you meditate on the Word of God? Do you witness? I mean, is your life so consumed that the songs that you sing are like these little songs we hear the children sing about Jesus? He said, Simon, you haven't done any of these things. These are common things. These are common practices. Simon should have done it. She did it all. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Okay, come back to Mark. Mark chapter 10 again. This guy didn't have a clue. He knows God. He knows the Word of God. But he has no personal relationship with God. And it's only in that personal relationship with God that we can find out that all things are possible with God. Verse 23. Let me finish up the poor guy. Verse 21. Jesus beholding him after he said, I've kept all of this. Jesus beholding him loved him. He loves every one of us. He loved even this young man who's so fooled by himself and the world that he can't even face the truth. Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. That is the key for every redeemed person of child, is to take up the cross and follow him. Follow me. Follow me. I've done it all, but have you followed him? That's the true example. That's the true witness. That's the testimony. Is your life one that does love him? Because he loved you so much, he forgave you of your sin. Verse 22, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I don't want to go off into this, but there's something in your life that you haven't given over to him. Verse 23, Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, with what difficulty shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? A very hard situation for them. Jewish people always believe that men and women, or people who were blessed, were people who were successful. God blesses them. That's why they're successful. Their measuring stick is a world's yardstick. It's not biblical yardstick. And so here is a rich man, and they are amazed that he's going to have a difficult time getting into heaven. Look at verse 24. The disciples were astonished at his words. I was doing an appraisal the other day, and there's a duplex down around OCU, and it's not really a great location. And these guys were sitting outside, and one of the guys was barbecuing, and they were playing dominoes inside, but I was taking some pictures inside, and they came outside, and they were all sitting outside, and we started talking. I was just kind of writing things down, and a guy looks at me and says, you look like Ted Turner. No, I didn't. that liberal commie. He said, you look like Ted Turner. The other guy says, Tim Turner, who's that? I said, I do. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to say, I sure wish I had his money, but you know what? I'm glad I don't. You know, riches are a plague, and the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not that money is evil. It's not that this rich kid had money and it was going to keep him out of the kingdom. It was his attitude towards it, his relationship with God. It's not putting first things first. I mean, and you really know when the rubber hits the road, when you get in that situation where, and not when you get to the end of your rope that you make that decision, but you get into a situation where you initially realize there's not a thing I can do about this, and you put God right there in front, and you begin to have faith in him and depend on him and let him work it out. It may not work out the way you want it to work out. Most of the time it doesn't. If you knew what God had in store for you, if you were faithful to his calling, and he showed it to you and you knew it, do you think you would walk in it? There'll be persecutions. There'll be differences between you and your family. There'll be separation. There'll be hardships. There'll be testing. There'll be a growing. There'll be a deep love for God that begins to build and grow in your life, not because things are peachy keen, but because God is fashioning you in the fire of his love, so that you then can become his tool, his pottery, his workmanship. That's a beautiful verse over in Ephesians about being his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And the word workmanship is poema. Greek word poema. It means a poem. Your life a poem for him. These guys, verse 24, they were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, what? Children? Bring him right back to that. Children. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God instead of trusting in the one true God? See, this guy, I wonder if he really knew there was a God. I mean, he says that there's none good but God, but does he know the one true God? Put all of his efforts on himself, and he's still lost as a goose. And now Jesus says to his disciples, who should know, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. I guess that's more astonished now than they were before. What is this about a camel going through the eye of a needle? It's easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle. Maybe it's robo-camel. That's more personal than you know. We have this little game we play with Isaac. Pick the strongest animal that you know. And we, all four of us, pick it, Sherry and Darcy and I. And I want to say something, too, just to kind of interject this real quick. You get a chance, say hi to Darcy. She and Isaac go back Wednesday. If you haven't met Vonda's husband, Ron, say hi to Ron. We got some friends back there, Brian and Manasan. Oh, right. I'm terrible with names. You don't know how... Oh, boy. Say hi to them. It's good to have you here. But we play this game, name an animal. And the three of us go first, and Isaac goes last. And if there's a big one in there, you know, like King Kong, he gets Robo King Kong. And whoever is the strongest wins. Well, Robo King Kong beats King Kong. So maybe Robo Camel can go through the eye of a needle. I don't think you can't get a camel through the eye of a needle. And that's how hard it is for rich people. It'll be that difficult. I mean, you have to really think of some ways to do it. You know, people talk about boiling it down and putting it in a syringe and, you know, shooting it through, all that kind of stuff. Verse 26, they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? See, they thought riches implied salvation. They thought blessed of God. And these are the most miserable people in the world today. The Hollywood crowd, the rich corporate people. Beauty, brains, and bucks, the killer bees, they'll get you every time. And here's a guy that has bucks, the rich man, and he can't. You remember Nicodemus? Here's a man who had brains, and he still couldn't understand it. You must be born again. And he says, how can that be? Nicodemus, John chapter 3, read the story. And then he comes face to face with the God of the universe in flesh. Nicodemus does. He comes mind to mind, and then he comes heart to heart. And he says, how can these things be? And he begins to ponder. And later on you find out who took the body of Jesus off the cross and who helped Joseph Arimathea bury it in a grave. Nicodemus. The teacher, it says, the teacher of Israel. Beauty, brains, and bucks. Verse 27, Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. God has given to you a wonderful relationship with Him. It's a personal relationship with Him. It's a relationship that's built on His grace and only His grace. He doesn't care about your past. He's not interested in your future. He's sealed that. He's just interested in you. And how do you respond to Him? What do you say to the one who has eternal life? And not only that, what do you say about getting to know Him? I mean, what would you say if somebody came to you and said, what was his favorite place when he was here? What was his favorite nickname? I mean, you know your friend's favorite nicknames, don't you? You know, hey Scooter, hey Rocky, you know, you got all of that. But what about the one who gave his life for you? I mean, have you studied this book well enough to know what he thought about the Mount of Olives? He said, I'm going to return to the Mount of Olives, probably his favorite place. He calls himself the Son of Man more than any other. There's so many things to get to know about him. But the one thing today, just remember, whatever situation in life you find yourself in, you don't have faith. You can't find forgiveness. You don't know where the next paycheck is going to come from. You don't know about this or about that. Just know that all things are possible with God. He's given us this book. That's how we get to know Him. We can learn a little bit about Him from creation if we're really gifted and talented and devoted. Even like George Washington Carver, we might even take the peanut and begin to unfold the manifold wisdom of God in a peanut. That He's done so much more for us. He's given us these what Paul calls, what we call Paul's prison epistles. He's given us seven wonderful letters. We're going to kind of springboard off of this into that and begin to see a little right division that God had, that He hasn't called us under Israel. He hadn't called us as Israel. He's called us separated, away from Israel. He's called us the body of Christ. And that's kind of where we're going to start. We may pick it up with studying Titus, but all things are possible with Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You as Your Word takes the things of Christ and makes them real in our life. And Lord, I know that all of us here today, all who are listening to this, understand and know that there's something in their life that they need to deal with You. Not every walk. Not anyone's walk is perfect. Lord, whatever that may be, may Your Spirit quicken it in their mind. And may they not ignore it, but may they get right with You in regard to it. And Lord, may they be blessed as they seek Your will to accomplish good works in their life. And they, Father, might see that truly all things are possible with You. And this I pray in Christ Jesus' name and for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.